Chapter 42. Mikik. The ancient boughs of black oaks cast an uneven shadow upon the figure sitting stiffly on bulging roots below massive moss-covered limbs. The dim of Goreth Forest suited the mood of one who passed his days in unending torture. Here he had hidden for centuries, waiting patiently for the light of Triss to break anew into the starscape above and signal for him to leave his hovel of seclusion and return to his quest. Mikik cowered deep within this sylvan fortress he had created to protect himself just before Triss waned fully, the puissant moon's light eclipsed by the power of the meddlesome Milim Eri. Without Triss's light, the creative power with which Eldaloth had endowed him faded and died. How he regretted ever coveting that power. How he regretted his own ambition. But regret accomplished nothing, and repentance was impossible. He had to cut the lingering life of Eldaloth out of Kihol, to murder the living presence of the god he had slain, but whose essence still lingered in Elder Lurimora. And he had the means to do it. He had entrusted only one servant with the fullness of his plan. Only she could approach him here, and she was late, as usual. He desperately awaited her report, as much for the information as for the distraction. In speaking with her, he could stifle the continual aching scream that only he could hear, and silence the heartbeat he thought would die with Eldaloth in the plains of Orentan. The scream was Kihol's unending lament for its slain maker, the heartbeat, the essence of Eldaloth's life that emanated from Elder Lurimora. They tormented him even here in his fortress of cruel trees. Together the scream and heartbeat drove him mad, like a burning sun that never set. He laughed to think of the pretentious pride of the nations he had massacred in the first wars, fighting bravely against a foe they thought sought to dominate them. To think themselves important enough that one should wish to dominate them, or to think that he would feel any satisfaction in doing so, was a joke only he could possibly understand. He did not want their obedience. He did not covet their lands. They held no treasure he cared about save one, the feeble power of their otherwise worthless blood. The wind stirred the branches of the tree above him, warning him that someone had entered his domain. "She comes at last." Mikik leaned against the trunk and considered the sword lying upon his knees. He had fashioned it a duplicate of the one he had used to cut down his master so many years ago. While the consequences lay torturous and heavy upon him, he could not even fathom contrition, only escape. To that end, before the shattering, he had pulled the power of the blood of the masses fallen on the battlefield to fashion another weapon, to finish what he had so fatefully started. The blade was not powerful enough by half yet, and he waited anxiously to raise up more creatures of war and begin the bloodshed anew. With the sword's power, he would level Elder Lurimora. Then that accusatory finger that he could not slap away would finally fall, and blessed silence would balm his weary mind. Duran's proximity reminded him of more immediate concerns. The Milim Eri had plotted to return Eldaloth to the world, though he knew it a farce. Eldaloth he had annihilated, and all that remained of him lived on in Elder Lurimora. When news of the prophecy had first reached his ears, Mikik had scoffed, for the Milim Eri appeared to be foisting some trickery upon the nations. But he could not ignore their cunning, or the power within their blood, and if they could somehow create a being to stand against him, he had to respond to the threat. To that end, he had created the Ilk, as they had prophesied, a creature of his own blood and power, a creature to end the threat against him before it had a chance to start. But again the Milim Eri proved cunning, and in his weakened state he had no means to counter their treachery, so now his own device was turned against him, aiding the cause the Ilk had been created to crush. "My Lord Mikik," Joran greeted him confidently, and he could sense an eagerness in her voice. "I have returned with strange tidings." Mikik considered her. The travel-stained clothes and frail human frame concealed the magnitude of the gifts he had bestowed upon her, Only the Millimeri masters and he held greater power than she, and in his current debilitation it would take all his efforts to destroy her.
"Is he dead, then, Joran? I must assume that he is, or you would not have dared return to me."
"He is not dead, my lord. He..." Mikik gestured, and a ring of air constricted her throat and strangled the rest of her words. Joran's face constricted, turning red. Her thoughts sped into his mind. "Hear me, my lord. See what the ilk does." Hurriedly, she unloaded what she had gleaned from Jen's mind into her master's, and as the scenes played before them both, the invisible noose around her throat loosened and then released. For the first time in years, Mikik stood, kicking away the dry brown leaves gathered about him. A menacing smile broke upon his face.
"You have done rightly, Joran,"
Mikik praised.
"I could not have devised a plan so clever. The prophecy is ruined, undone by the very people who gave it. Who could have imagined it? The ilk has sown more contention and division as a man of principle than the Ha'ulric in his pride and folly. I need fear the Ha'ulric no more than an insect. Jen I could fear, but if I meet him, I can undo him no matter where the Millimeri are hiding his animon."
"What is your command, master?"
"One threat remains, Joran, the child. While you may help Jen to unwittingly sow his seeds of dissent, we must destroy the Shalane. Without her, the Millimeri will be frustrated. There will be no child of prophecy and no threat to my work."
"As you wish," she said. "Though the Millimeri are tracking me and making movement difficult, may I suggest something?"
"What more is there to do, Joran?"
And when Joran told him her plan, Mikik's laugh, wicked and joyful, set the trees of Goriath Forest to twitching.
"I see that you approve."
"Of course. And I will keep my promise, Joran. When this is finished, you will return to ash no more."